Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The emotion. Nice. Cheer. He's been a great champion, hasn't he? He is a great champion.
Well, that ovation went on for about 2 minutes yesterday. That's Tiger Woods walking over that landmark bridge at St. Andrews at 18. Start of the day at 6 over, finished the second round at 9 over. Tears rolling down his cheeks as that applause engulfs him. It was a very moving moment to me, Rick.
Yeah.
And it was also kind of the, I don't want to say the guy played too long, but you know, like, that's it, right? That's the swan song?
It reminds you of that very same walk with Nicklaus, with Palmer, and now with Tiger Woods. You know, how long is too long? Glenn, he was in pain. It's not just the fact that you know, that the years are going by.
Yeah.
You know,
his aging was compounded by his injuries.
Absolutely. The traffic accident, took whatever comeback may have been in him. I think it's taken that away. But to watch, and then to listen to the words yesterday, you know, St. Andrews is probably, after Augusta, is probably Woods' second favorite course in the world.
Won it twice there, right?
Yes.
2005, something like that. Yeah.
He loves that place. And like you said, the warmth of the ovation, but simply from an athlete's point of view, you know, to know, I mean, he didn't miss the cut by a stroke or two, Glenn.
No.
I mean, you just mentioned it, 9 over.
Yeah.
Well, the leaders are what, 13 under? Something like that?
Something, yeah, yeah.
And double digits.
We're going to see the same thing, more or less, this week when Albert Pujols makes his appearance in the home run derby, which is whatever, a little awkward, I think. He's got 6 home runs this year. But in the All-Star game, and it's the same kind of thing where, Rick, I don't begrudge a guy for staying. There's a great line that Jim Boughton once had. I don't know if it was in Ball 4 or one of his other books, but he said, "All those years I felt that I was gripping the baseball. At the end, I realized it was the other way around."
Yeah.
It's if I could do that, right? If you had that skill to be playing at St. Andrews, right? To be playing in front of a crowd of people in Major League Baseball, to be hitting, what does he have, 685?
85, yeah.
Yeah, right? I mean, you don't want to let go of that until you have to, right?
It's hard. It's got to be tremendously difficult. And I've gotten to know Albert Pujols a little bit over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is back with the Cardinals. A lot of people were critical of him when he signed that big money deal. And how foolish does that look? The deal that, yeah, Artie Moreno and the Los Angeles Angels, yeah, signed him to. They paid him for what he did.
Exactly.
For the Cardinals all those,
yes,
years. But he is back with the team, you know, from which he first got to the major leagues and became the great Albert Pujols. And it's symbolic, I think, Glenn, that he's in the home run derby. He is, of the active players, obviously number one with 685. Everyone else is retired or no longer with us on that list. But it's almost the passing of the torch, because you've got a young Dominican kid in the Seattle center fielder, Julio Rodriguez, that's competing against him in this competition on Monday night. So it's really the old guard passing the torch to the new guard. You know, how do you say no to the home run derby for you know, to a guy that has 685 runs?
Or the and I think that listen, I don't like Rob Manfred at all, but when he put him in the All-Star game,
yeah, along with Cabrera.
Yeah, along Cabrera, right? That's a career thing. Let me give you three amazing Albert Pujols stats. This is courtesy of a friend of mine, Ryan Spader, who's on Twitter as the Ace of Spader, and he's just a stats guy, Rick. You should follow him.
Yeah.
All right. Number one, Albert Pujols has a hit off of 10% of all of the players in Major League history ever to throw a pitch.
Wow. 10%?
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yes. Two, Albert Pujols, in his best offensive season, Ken Griffey had an OPS that was 71% above the league average, right? Albert Pujols, in his first 10 seasons with St. Louis, was 72% over a course of a decade.
Wow.
Number three, this one's not so positive, but Albert Pujols could have gone 0 for 598 when he left St. Louis for L.A. and still had a career batting average over 300. And he's now at 296.
That's amazing.
Which kind of reflects your Artie Moreno points. But I get that guys can't give up. I do. I don't begrudge it.
Let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
It's public knowledge. I'm not breaking any news here. He went through a much publicized divorce during the lockout. Mm-hmm. It came to light after many, many years of marriage.
Yep.
You know, it could it be to a certain point that baseball is and hanging on for one more year is maybe his way of dealing with something?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me another way. I know some guys who have decided not to retire because they're paying off divorces. I thought that's what you were saying. It was a money thing. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't even think. I think he's got enough money to settle with her.
Yeah, you would think. Yeah. Maybe. Again, for whatever reason, if you can do it and you don't want to give it up, I get it. Let's grab a call or two. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're on with Ricky Ricardo and Glenn Mack now. Good morning. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Oh, there you are. Hey, yeah, we got you.
Hi, Mike.
Okay, the last time I talked to you, Glenn, was about those great players, Michael Martinez and Delmon Young.
You're making a list of my least favorite Phillies.
I have a few things to say about where baseball is going. First, with the automated strike zone, I have a question. Juve and Aaron Judge have the same strike zone. Hello?
Rick, did you get that? His phone is getting weird. I got to let him go. But he basically said with the automated strike zone, how do you account for the disparity of size, specifically Aaron Judge?
From what I'm told, the technology is much like the shot thing that they have in tennis, which adjusts itself to the batter in his crouch. So, no, it's obvious. Look, it's going to be the letters to the knees. It's what it's supposed to be, Glenn. From the letters to the knees, corner to corner of the plate. Now, the electronic strike zone will adjust, the framing of the strike zone will adjust once the batter is in his stance, in his whatever, if it's a crouch, whatever it may be. All you need is a split second when he is in that hitting position. The strike zone will be created by the electronic device. So, no, it obviously it's going to be different from the physical standpoint of an Aaron Judge as compared to a Jose Altuve. But in theory, the strike zone is the same. It's from the letters to the knees, corner to corner on the plate.
I'm assuming it uses a laser to quickly catch, you know, what is it now? I mean, it used to be the armpits. What is it now? The letters? The waist?
The letters.
What is really the top of the strike zone?
You figure the top of the letters of the uniform, that, right to the knees.
Okay, and it seems... That doesn't seem hard to me. Let's go to Rob in Doylestown. Morning, Rob.
Morning, gentlemen. Ricky, we spoke about this on the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
For the record, Gene Walk wore number 4. But I got a feeling that Derek Call is going to develop into a very productive late bloomer who gets it all together just when the Phillies lose Harper. I really like the kid. I think he's got the right disposition for the town. I'd just put him at first and let him play.
I'd bet against it. I hope I'm wrong. And he got another nice hit last night. He is a guy who came up. He turns 27 next week. I would go to expert witness Ricky Ricardo and ask you, Rick, generally, what is the success rate of prospects who break into the major leagues around age 27?
That's a good question. In this particular case, in general, it's not a very high percentage. But here's my question here, and I'll ask both you guys. I'm watching a lot of Hall's at bats on an iPad as I'm calling a game, okay? Yeah. Is he this team's Darren Ruff?
As in Darren Ruff with the Phillies or Darren Ruff with the Giants?
No, as in Darren Ruff with the Phillies.
Yeah, maybe, because Darren Ruff was a flash in the pan.
That's what I think is...
He's still playing.
Yeah, okay. So if that... And I actually like that comparison. And so, Rob, if he's Darren Ruff, what he is, to me, is a marginal major league guy who you have on the bench, and every once in a while you platoon him, and he'll come up with an occasional big hit. Do you see him as more than that?
I do, yes.
Okay.
I think he's going to develop.
I see a lot of Mike Epstein, Don Mincher, Jim Spencer.
You're going Norm, way back in the day.
Norm Cash.
Wow. Oh, I love Norm Cash.
Yeah.
Wow. That's you're going back in time there,
well,
my friend.
I mean, those are the kind of guys that I kind of envision when I see him.
Yeah,
you know,
I
that occasional
it.
Pop from the
Walt,
left
Walt
side.
Droppo unavailable?
That's a little before my time.
Yeah, well, as long as we're going back.
Ed Cranepool.
Who was the original Met, right?
Yes.
They hung around forever. Well, there you go. You know what? Good recitation of old names. Greg in the Northeast is on with Ricky and Glenn. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Glenn. Hey, Jay. Ricky, how you doing, guys?
Thank you for taking
my call. Appreciate it. I think I have a really good take on the Flyers, to be honest. Right now, the Flyers haven't been in a long time a blue-collar fan base. It's organizational. It's for organizations. Like, I want to know how many businesses own seats compared to the average family.
Oh, hockey is a high-end ticket, it is everywhere, because hockey doesn't get the TV contracts that the other sports get.
No, I mean, I understand that. But and then, like, okay, here we are. Hextall, he got us out of the cap hell from Holmgren, the contracts he gave out. And now we're right back in it with Fletcher, with Hayes and Ellis and JVR, where the one time that, he even said they need high-end talent, want to be contenders sooner rather than later. Yet the one player that was high-end talent, he didn't go after. Now you signed five free agents.
What does that have to do with the fan base, the being an affluent fan base?
Oh, that was my first thing. I just don't think that the Flyers are any longer a blue-collar, like, hard-working fan base. It's more...
I disagree with hard-working. You think because people make money, they don't work hard?
No. I'm saying I believe that the fans that are actually at the game are less likely to be the blue-collar Philadelphia fan base than they're just tickets
given
out.
Okay, this is my thought, and thanks for the call. My thought on overall, Philadelphia is not the blue-collar town it used to be. Philadelphia, the fan base is blue-collar in terms of its attitude. We expect our players to be blue-collar. This city, the economics of this city are far less blue-collar than they were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I think, and Rick earlier said, it's a blue-collar town. I'm not speaking for you, Rick, but to me, when we say that, it's not that the average guy wakes up in the morning, gets a lunch pail, and punches in and works a line for 9 hours. It's that is the attitude we have ingrained in us as a city.
Correct. I think the economics, it's not a factory, you know, ridden town. It's not, as you mentioned, it's not what it was 20, 30, you know, Pittsburgh, you know, it's not steel mills anymore.
Right.
Things have evolved, but the mentality ingrained in our area is a blue-collar mentality of hard work and an honest day's pay for an honest day's work. You know, that still exists. Now, does that fan go to NHL hockey, not just in Philadelphia, anywhere around the country or in Canada, that's a completely different question that could be debated. But the attitude is what I agree with you about there, Glenn.
215-592-9494. Ricky Ricardo, Glenn Mack now. Brian Westbrook coming up at 11 right here on 94 WIP.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.